Luke chapter 1. We'll continue reading through Luke. We're going to start with verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Father, how we need Your Word this morning, and we pray that You would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from it. Lord, in these passages concerning the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, we pray, Lord, in these familiar things, You would thrill our hearts anew and afresh with Your Word, encourage us in our faith, point us to Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. We pray this in His name. Amen. We're resuming our studies in the Gospel of Luke, the third Gospel. And it's this wonderful, wonderful account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. We've seen how Luke begins, how he began his Gospel with the story of the miraculous conception of John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, as he's sometimes referred to, who was conceived in the womb of Elizabeth. I say miraculous conception because Elizabeth was an elderly woman. She was barren. She had never been able to have children. She and her husband, Zacharias, were both old, beyond the point of being able to conceive. Yet God said she would be the mother of the forerunner, the prophesied forerunner of Messiah who would come announcing His coming, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Miracle mother number one. But Luke continues his gospel with the story of another miraculous conception, an even greater miracle of conception, if you will. Through the angel Gabriel, and we looked at this previously, God said to a young Jewish maiden, Mary, that she would conceive without the involvement of a man. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who would come upon her, she would conceive and give birth to the Messiah, the long-awaited prophesied Messiah of Israel, whom she was to name Jesus. The name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or salvation is of God. For the angel said to Joseph, He will save His people from their sins. Now Luke continues his narrative about the story of Jesus with the story of how God brings these two miracle mothers together. The meeting of these two women, one very old, Elizabeth, one very young, Mary, a young teenager. This visit of Mary is sometimes called by the scholars, by the Bible scholars, the visitation. Mary's visit to her elderly relative Elizabeth. Both Mary and Elizabeth were godly women, righteous in the sight of God. And I believe in this account that was read for us a moment ago, we find things, it's so familiar to us, but we find things to encourage us in our faith and things to point us to Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Notice, first of all, the encouragement of faith. The encouragement of faith. Verse 39, "Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." Apparently, as you study the text, it was almost immediately after Mary, this young Jewish maiden, betrothed but not yet having known a man, the angel Gabriel comes and tells her she's going to give birth as a virgin. And apparently it's soon after that that she rises up and goes to visit her cousin, her relative, the elderly Elizabeth, who was also with child. You'll notice in verse 36, previous to where we read, verse 36, the angel said to Mary, telling her she was going to give birth, the angel said, "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month." Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant at this time when Mary gets the word that she is going to conceive. Then look down at verse 56 and 57. It says that Mary stayed with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months and then returned to her home. And then the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. So nine months have elapsed. So Mary leaves right before Elizabeth's birth. But notice, she had to have left soon after hearing from the angel that she, Mary, was going to conceive and give birth, because Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant and she stays with her three more months. So she goes almost immediately. She goes in a hurry. She goes with eagerness. She goes, as we said, with a sense of urgency and haste. It says that she went to the city of one of the cities of Judah in the hill country. Mary was a native of Nazareth. She lived up in the north around the Sea of Galilee. And that journey from Nazareth down to the hill country of Judah, down by Jerusalem, Judea, and they lived in a village outside there. Zacharias, the priest, and his wife Elizabeth did. That was a journey of some 80 to 90 miles. A 3 to 4 day journey. Did Mary travel alone? We don't know. That was a difficult journey. That was a risky journey for that distance. The text doesn't tell us. But it wasn't easy for a young teenager like Mary. But the question arises in our minds, why did she go? Why did she go there so quickly? Some say that she went to hide her own pregnancy. But consider that she hasn't begun to show that she's pregnant. And she's going to return home to Nazareth and have to deal with all that. She goes back in her third month. So there must be some other reason. Why did she go there? Why does she leave almost immediately? Well, think of her situation. She's pregnant. She's a virgin. She's never known a man. But the angel says, given all that, Mary, you are going to conceive and give birth through the Holy Spirit. Who's she going to tell that to? Who's going to believe her when she says, "I'm pregnant, but I haven't known a man"? Who's going to believe her? Even Joseph, the man she was betrothed to, did not believe her. Later in the story, in Matthew's gospel, he finds out she's pregnant before they had come together to consummate the marriage. And he doesn't believe her. In fact, he concluded that she's been unfaithful, and the law, the Old Testament law, provided that in such a situation, the woman could be stoned because it was considered adultery, unfaithfulness. But he was a righteous man, and he opted for the compassionate solution. He chose instead to quietly divorce her. Matthew 1 says he was going to put her away, divorce her secretly, privately, quietly. That's all still future at this point. But who does Mary go to? No doubt, Mary is beginning in these early hours and days after getting this stupendous message from the angel Gabriel. All of the implications and all of the thoughts are flooding her mind. And the angel has given her this little hint, has given her this truth that her Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth, her relative, has also conceived. And she's in her sixth month. Elderly Elizabeth, who could not bear children. Perhaps Mary is feeling alone. How does she deal with all this? All of the implications. And so she hurries. She makes haste to go visit her elderly relative, Elizabeth, who has also received a conception miracle. And Mary, I'm thinking, is thinking, Elizabeth, of all people, Elizabeth will understand. Elizabeth will believe her when I tell her what I've heard and what has been done to me and what the Lord is going to do with me and through me. But dear friends, have you ever thought, and I've never really thought about this in this story, how gracious it was of God to provide an Elizabeth for Mary? You know, you think of Mary, a young teenager, chosen to be the mother of Messiah, to bear the Son of God, the God-man, in her womb. Only one woman in history would have that honor. Only one woman, and it was Mary that God chose. And Mary needed someone to walk with her, someone that she could confide in, someone who could help her sort through all this, strengthen her. She needed an Elizabeth to encourage her, and to encourage the both of them that God had chosen them as His instruments, as part of His plan to bring the Redeemer into the world, and had honored this elderly woman and this teenager, this maiden Mary, as part of bringing the forerunner and the Messiah into the world. And God leads her to the home of elderly Elizabeth, godly woman, married to Zacharias the priest. Imagine the Bible studies they must have had as they went to pour back into the Old Testament and talked about these prophecies of the forerunner, the one who would go before, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and all the texts of the Messiah coming. 3 months later, young Mary would return home, better equipped for what lay ahead. Because it was a costly thing that Mary was entering into. We talked about that last time. But beloved, I want to make an application here. Do you know what one of the key responsibilities of believers to one another is in the church? What is one of your key responsibilities to your brothers and sisters in the Lord? It's this. It's encouragement. It's encouragement. Hebrews 10:25 says that we are not to forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but what? Encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the day drawing near. You agree with me, friends, that the days we live in are difficult and will become more difficult? 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, in the last days, difficult times will come. Beloved, the Scripture says, encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, how we need to take the time. And frankly, it does take unselfishness and the Spirit of God working through the people of God to get out of our own little world and to encourage one another, to reach out to one another, to stop, to focus not on ourselves, but on others, to get to know them, to listen, to serve, to help them, to pray with them, to share the Word of God. Sometimes when visitors have come to LBC, for example, it happened recently during our missions conference, guests came and spent a few days here. And it seems God does a work. And various times people have come and said, you know, Fred, I came here, we came here discouraged, but we leave encouraged. Wow, that is super. Dear friends, let that increase and abound more and more. We see here the encouragement of faith. God graciously provides for this young woman. Who's going to believe her? And off she goes to Elizabeth. And they spend 3 months together. Do you know God is bringing people to our church? God is connecting us with people in this community. There's a lot of brokenness in our world. There's a lot of loneliness in our world. We have this wonderful opportunity to wrap our arms of love, so to speak, around people and love them for Jesus' sake and point them to the Savior and point them to Christ, the encouragement of faith. Secondly, you see here the joy of faith, the joy of faith. Verse 41. It came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. At the sound of Mary's voice, she arrives on the doorstep of Zacharias and Elizabeth's home. They greet one another, and the baby, 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, the baby leaps. Now, you mothers, and I know not all of you have born children. For some of you, it may not be God's plan to allow that privilege. And that's a heavy thing to bear, frankly. But for those who have borne children, one of the joys of motherhood, isn't it, is to feel that baby moving. I remember when Cammie was pregnant, and sometimes she'd say, Fred, put your hand right here. And I'd say, wow, with a kick like that, that's got to be a boy, right? You know, that's one of the joys. You know, now husbands, we're just bystanders in all this, but this was different. Notice Elizabeth, verse 44. Verse 44, Elizabeth has been filled with the Spirit, and she interprets this movement. She interprets really what's happening in her womb. Verse 44, she says to Mary, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Elizabeth interprets, under the inspiration of the Spirit, what's happening in her womb. John, not yet born, leaps for joy. The baby is 3 months from being born, but he leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. Now, what is happening here? What is happening here? Now remember, John was set apart by God as a prophet. A prophet who would be the forerunner of Messiah, Jesus Christ. And his role was to announce Messiah is coming. And when Jesus arrived, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," as John came to Israel, the forerunner. Jesus said of John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, Luke 7:28, "Among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, no greater prophet than John, born among women." But you know what's happening here, beloved? In a way, a marvelous way, we can't fully comprehend. John, although in the womb, John is beginning to fulfill his prophetic role as the forerunner, the announcer, Messiah is coming. And he leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. Jesus said John was the greatest prophet, no greater than John, born among women. Well, John was not only the greatest prophet ever, at this point, he's the smallest prophet ever. About 9 or 10 inches long, right? His leap of joy in the womb of Mary was a silent announcement. As someone said, John couldn't yet speak, but he could jump for joy. Now, there's something else to remember. The angel had said to Zacharias in chapter 1, verse 15, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. John, the son of Elizabeth, born to this barren woman, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Oh, that maybe helps us understand why was John filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb, in this embryonic fetal state? Maybe right here. Mary was going to come, bearing a few days, a week pregnant with the Messiah. But the presence of the Lord within her, the God-man, and John, filled with the Spirit, leaps for joy and gives this silent, prophetic witness. The Messiah is coming. Leaps for joy. All of God's prophets in the Old Testament and those in the early stages of the New Testament, the early church, God's prophets, when they were filled with the Spirit, they would speak the Word of God as God filled them and spoke through them. 2 Peter 1:21, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And here in the womb of Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit filling John. He couldn't yet speak, but he could respond in joy in the presence of Mary and the child she was carrying. Turn in your Bibles to John, the gospel right after Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 3. John 3, 28 and 29. I'll begin at verse 27 of John 3. John, this is John the Baptist, answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." See, John understood his role. He was not the Messiah. He was always pointing people to the Messiah. That was his role. Verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, and that's the role John had, the friend of the bridegroom, the friend of the Messiah, the friend of Christ, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. What's John saying here as he's in his ministry? My joy has been made complete. My joy has been made full. He must increase. I must decrease. My joy has been made full. But this joy is evident in the womb of Mary, in John, the 6-month-old person, prophet. So you see, this wasn't just the meeting of the miracle mothers. This is the meeting of the miracle babies, so to speak. And John rejoiced. But we also see here the joy of Elizabeth. We're talking about the joy of faith. We see the joy of Elizabeth. She's filled with the Spirit. And she cries out in a loud voice, verse 42, a loud voice indicating joy and enthusiasm. And she's speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit. She's filled with the Spirit. And she cries out with a loud voice and said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She's overflowing with joy. She's overflowing with praise. She too recognizes through the Spirit that Messiah is coming, that Mary is the one who is bearing in her womb the promised one, the Messiah. There's rejoicing everywhere. Mary is going to rejoice. We'll come to this in another message. Verse 46, we sometimes call it the Magnificat. Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. The joy of faith. The joy in the presence of Jesus. The joy in salvation. Two implications here I would share with you. Number one, joy is the normal, natural response of the one who recognizes Jesus Christ for who He is as Lord and Savior and puts their trust in Him. The normal response is joy in the presence of Jesus, the Savior and Lord, and honoring Him and praising and rejoicing. Listen, if they rejoiced like this before Christ was even born, just the prospect of Him coming, how should we, on this side of the events, shouldn't we, beloved, be characterized by joy? Yes, yes, yes. Joy. Are you rejoicing today? Are you rejoicing? Are you? Because you know Christ and you know the joy of your sins washed away as we had the communion table this morning. The joy. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12 is one of the shorter chapters in Isaiah. This great Old Testament prophet. Look at Isaiah 12 verse 2. Look at the joy in salvation. Behold, God, this is verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Look at verse 3. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. I love that metaphor. You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. And Elizabeth breaks out in praise and song and joy and rejoicing. And John is leaping in her womb because the Messiah is coming. The Savior is coming. Do you know, beloved, do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Rejoice. Rejoice. When you know Christ, when you know the meaning of life and the purpose of life, when you know that heaven is your home and eternal life is your possession, it ought to just overflow in joy and praise. Show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's a second implication here. This leaping of John for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. Obviously, we can't understand all of this, but here's the implication. Clearly, this was a person. A very little person. A very little prophet, if you will. But a person. Not just, as some would want us to believe, a glob of tissue to be discarded if we would so choose. Clearly, this was a person. Elizabeth says, the child, notice, at the sound of your voice, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. The baby leaped for joy. The baby leaped for joy. It's a baby, it's a child, it's a person, it's a creation of God. How could it be anything less? It's a life from conception. Psalm 139, Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb, David said under the inspiration of the Spirit. Every human life is sacred in the womb, outside the womb, a creation of God. That's why abortion is such a horrible, horrendous thing. This Holocaust in our midst, it's ending a human life. There's implications of that for this election, isn't there? You know, let me digress. If a candidate, on things clearly spelled out in Scripture as prohibited, and if a candidate is for such things regarding marriage and abortion, there's some clear direction for voting there, see? Not to vote for. What have we seen? The encouragement of faith, the joy of faith. Joy in the presence of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus. Thirdly, we see the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith. Elizabeth, now filled with the Spirit, she breaks out, as we saw, in praise and blessing. And her hymn of praise is really the first of five that we see here in Luke chapters 1 and 2. You know, Luke is this gospel writer who there's so much music and hymnology and hymns of praise. And the word joy and rejoicing in Luke comes up again and again. So here's the first one. It's Elizabeth breaking out in song and blessing. We'll see later Mary's magnificent. We already referred to that in the verses following. Then in chapter 1, verse 68, Zacharias the father, when his tongue is finally loosed at the birth of John, he begins to bless God. Then we'll see the angels at the birth of Christ, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And then Simeon, when he takes at 40 days of age, Jesus, 40 days of age, Simeon takes him there and begins to bless God and thank God for the consolation of Israel. But notice three blessings here. First of all, Elizabeth blesses Mary, who is God's chosen vessel. See it there in verse 42. And she cried out, Elizabeth did, with a loud voice and said, Blessed among women are you. Blessed among women are you. She begins to bless Mary. You know, there's a wonderful humility here seen in Elizabeth. Why? Because Elizabeth is the older. Elizabeth is the elder. Elizabeth is the one you would accord honor to. But here she is. The elder is blessing the younger. The elder would be granted more honor. But the Spirit is in control. She's filled with the Spirit. And she recognizes that she, Elizabeth, has received this wonderful honor of being chosen to bear the forerunner, John. But Mary's been given the greater honor because her son is greater, the Messiah. So there's a wonderful, genuine humility here. Elizabeth is not jealous of Mary, but she blesses her. See, and when the Spirit is in control, envy and jealousy is set aside. Blessed are you among women, Mary. Mary, you are especially blessed. You are most blessed among women because of the child you are bearing. Now, in Elizabeth blessing Mary, she is not worshiping Mary. She is not venerating Mary. That is unbiblical. Only God is to be worshipped. But on the other hand, while we would certainly be opposed to worship of Mary, Mariolatry and so on, she, on the other hand, is the most blessed. Blessed among women. Are you? Because of the great privilege of giving birth to the Messiah. the Savior, the God-man, Jesus Christ. So Elizabeth blesses her as this chosen vessel of God for this great honor. Secondly, Elizabeth blesses Mary's child. She blesses Mary's child. Blessed, verse 42, she says, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. In other words, blessed is the child you will bear, Mary. Look at verse 43. And how has it happened to me, Elizabeth says, how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord. This is amazing because Elizabeth, under the control, the inspiration of the Spirit, is speaking the truth that Mary is carrying the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord. The child in Mary's womb is Elizabeth's Lord. Now, when she says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She's using language reminiscent that would have messianic tone to it. David, King David in Psalm 110, verse 1, said, The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, Jehovah God, David says, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, the Messiah, my deliverer, my Savior, the Christ. And so that word Lord here is very significant. Elizabeth says, how is it that the mother of my Lord, my Lord, should come to me? Elizabeth is saying that Mary's child will be the Lord. Mary's child will be the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God, the God-man Jesus Christ. Someone has written, by looking beyond his humanity to his deity, Elizabeth was the first to confess her faith in Jesus as Lord. She gives expression to her faith as she blesses the one to whom Mary would give birth. She gives expression to her faith in her Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, we should note that Elizabeth does not say, how is it that the mother of God should come to me? We hear that sometimes. Mary is the mother of God. We shouldn't speak like that. The Bible never says that. God has no mother, see? God has always existed. God's Son has always existed. Second person of the Trinity. Eternal Son of God. Perfect unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Without beginning. But in the womb of Mary, the divine nature of God, the Son of God, was united to a human nature. And conceived in Mary was the God-man. Jesus the Christ. Fully God, fully man, one person, two natures, the God-man, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. So Elizabeth blesses Mary as the mother of her Lord. And then thirdly, get this, verse 45, Elizabeth blesses Mary for her faith in God's Word. She's just blessing, blessing, blessing. Verse 45, and blessed is she who believed, this is Mary, that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Mary simply took God at His word. And now she hears godly Elizabeth blessing her. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what God had promised, of what God had spoken. Look up in verse 38. After Mary received this amazing, stupendous prophecy, promise that she would be the bearer of Messiah, look at how she responded in verse 38. Mary said, behold, the bondslave, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. It wouldn't be easy for Mary. We talked about this. It would be costly. It would be very costly for Mary. Simeon said, even a sword will pierce your soul. At the suffering of her son and all the grief that would bring, her own reputation she had to let go of. But Mary obeyed. Blessed is she who believed, there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. She was blessed. It's always that way. Obedience brings blessing. Belief in God, belief and trust in Christ the Savior always brings blessing. Blessing. Oh, not that we're going to be rich and have our best life now. No. If this is our best life now, forget it. Right? But the blessing of sins forgiven, the blessing of knowing God, the blessing of fellowship with Him, the blessing of the Holy Spirit within, empowering us and filling us with love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness. Blessed is she. Some have suggested, perhaps tongue-in-cheek, that when Elizabeth said in verse 45, and blessed is she who believed, that maybe her husband Zacharias, who didn't believe, she kind of looked at him, blessed is she who believed, implying that he hadn't, but obviously we don't know that. Mary believed. In that way, we don't worship Mary, but Mary is this great example of faith. She heard the word of God. She believed God, that He would fulfill His promise to her. Beloved, what pleases God more than anything else? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is taking God at His word and acting upon it. The blessing comes to those who rely on God's word, His promise. And beloved, what is God's greatest promise to men? I submit to you, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, here's the promise, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you taken God at His word? Have you? Have you simply taken God at His word? More than anything else, God wants to be believed, because it's faith that pleases Him. But here's the deal. So many today, you ask them, if you were to die today, stand before God, and He asks you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And again, people will say things like this. The man on the street, I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't cheated on my taxes. I haven't cheated on my wife or my husband. I even went to church. I've given some money to the missionaries. And I think all of that, God's going to take that into account. And I'm certainly not like those people over there. That won't avail for a thing on the final day for entrance into heaven. God gave His only begotten Son, who paid the horrendous price, who endured an eternity of hell in those moments on the cross, in our place. And if we reject that and think that we can somehow do enough good to earn heaven, we are mocking the Son of God. And saying that somehow His death wasn't sufficient and wasn't necessary. And it's the only thing that could save us. And His promise is that whosoever believeth, trusteth in Him alone, shall not perish in hell forever, but have eternal life. Blessed, blessed is she. Blessed is he. Blessed is the one who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what has been spoken by the Lord. Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you? Friend, we urge you, do so now. None of us knows the hour of our departure from this life into eternity. Take God at His word. Put your trust in Him alone. Believe Him unto eternal life. There's a little hymn. It's called Trust and Obey. I want you to stand. We're just going to sing it a cappella. Trust, that's faith. Walking with God by faith and obeying Him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey,
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship this morning, the privilege, the delight of hearing your word. Father, for the saints of God, for those who know Christ by faith, your word is the refreshment to our souls. It is encouraging, it is strengthening. And Father, in this text we've seen the responsibility to encourage others. Help us to do that as you graciously provided for young Mary. Help us, Father, to overflow with joy. And help us, Father, to believe and to take you at your word and know that you will fulfill your promises to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.